It's good. Yeah, guys are running around. Energy, a lot of energy. It's got to clean a few things up. Threw some tough looks at him. You know, today's a third down day, and Indianapolis does some very difficult things on both sides of the ball on third down. So there was a lot of different things to deal with in practice, and I thought the guys, fought through it pretty good.
They're really good on defensively on third down. They're second in the league. Indianapolis is.
Yeah, they are.
What do they do?
Very multiple package. You know, different personnel groupings. Different looks, do a good job of playing zone coverage, man coverage, different blitz looks. So you have to really be on top of your game on third down.
Is Andrew Luck a guy who you can sort of force into mistakes?
Yeah, Nate, I would say that's tough to say. I mean, I think that this guy is one of the top guys in the league. And I think with any quarterback, at times, because of their competitiveness, especially these top quarterbacks like Andrew is, they never think the play is over. And I think that's something I really admire about him. And I don't think that means that leads to mistakes. I think that just means that this guy's a playmaker and he is really the ultimate competitor. You know, he just really feels like the journey's never over and he's always going to try to make a play.
The last 4 weeks to that end, the Colts have 11 turnovers more than anybody in the NFL. Is there something does a team kind of get into a way with losing carefulness of the football? Is that something you guys can take advantage of?
You know, I don't know. I think that when I look at this team offensively, Indianapolis, I think over the last six games, they're averaging just under 40 points a game. This is the highest scoring team in the league. You know, this guy, Luck, is one of the leading passers in the league in all different types of categories. And, obviously, they've turned the ball over at times. But I think overall they're a 9-4 football team and they're playing very well offensively.
Bill, could you discuss Versos and Kent Gore is limited, how you look at his spot?
Yeah, day-to-day with Whitney, he's fighting through some things. It's 14th week and he's played a lot of football for us. And so, tough guy and he's fighting through some things and we'll see how he is tomorrow. Basically, if he weren't able to go, that it is what it is. That would be Brooks Reed, John Simon, and Jason Akra.
Do you have anything new on Andre today?
Andre Johnson, no. That's still, he's got to take the test again tomorrow. We'll check with him before practice tomorrow, see how he feels. But, it's still in a day-to-day type mode and see if maybe he can do something at practice tomorrow after he takes the test. We'll see how the test goes first.
In terms of DeVere being up, that's something you won't know for Sunday.
As far as Posey, yeah, I would say he has a good chance of being on the 46.
Do you expect to know about Andre tomorrow?
As far as what?
If he's out of concussion protocol.
As far as what? Being out for the game?
No.
As far as the concussion protocol? All of these concussion questions are great questions, but they're more for our medical staff. All I know is that we are on top of it. He's taking the test every single day. When they feel like he can, he passes that test, they'll pass him to the field. And no, I wouldn't know that until probably ultimately right before the, Sunday the game.
You don't have to know before that.
That's right.
You have to make a decision on who's
that. That's right.
Defending a guy like T.Y. Hilton, I would assume that, you don't want him to break free into the second level on his way to the pasture.
Right.
So do you have to get a handle on this guy?
You have to mix up how you defend him. You have to press him at the line of scrimmage, but when you do that, he's very quick. He's hard to press. So, you got to mix in some different looks where you're playing him from off coverage. First of all, you have to know where he is. They line him up at flanker, they line him up at split end, they line him up in the slot. So, you better identify where he is first of all. And it's a very difficult challenge. They do a great job with this guy. There's a reason why you throw the ball to the guy 19 times in one game. This guy's an excellent football player. He's fast. He's quick. He's got good hands. He's tough. He makes diving catches. He makes downfield catches, short catches, intermediate catches. He does a lot of things for him. So it's a big challenge as far as how we're going to play him, and we'll mix it up.
This time of year, do you encourage or discourage the players from looking at the standings? Here's who's might be in the wild card race. Here's who's leading. Or
Well, I mean, I don't follow them home when they leave NRG. You know, I kind of have my own things to work on. But, you know, so I don't – I'm sure they – everybody watches TV and, you know, everybody reads the newspaper or whatever and reads the – they're all on their phones. I'm sure they know what the deal is. But when we're in the building, all we're focused on is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, that's it. You know, if you think for 1 second you can just kind of get off of focusing the Indianapolis Colts and focus on – you know, the wild card in this scenario and that scenario, like, or whatever card, you know, I don't care. You're not going to be at your best on Sunday. So these guys understand that. They've done a really good job of focusing on the Indianapolis Colts. We, you know, guys, we start meeting at 7 a.m. We squad meet at 8. You know, we go from 8:30 to 10 with offensive and defensive meetings, 10 o'clock special teams, go to a walkthrough. Have a little lunch, go out to practice. I mean, these guys are 12 hours a day focused on the Indianapolis Colts. Now, once they leave the building, I'm sure they watch TV.
What have you thought of Dan Heron the last couple of weeks?
Boom Heron? Yeah, I think, you know, this guy's been very productive, especially since Bradshaw went out. You know, he's a guy that has very good stats. You see his production on just from his rushing yards and catching the ball in the backfield. You know, I think the guy's done really well. He's a downhill runner, but he's got speed to get outside, and he's done a really nice job for him. And he contributes on special teams too.
So is there anything uniquely difficult about playing at Lucas Oil Stadium? I mean, it's an indoor building. You've coached there, I'm sure, with the Patriots.
Yeah, the last time I was there wasn't a good night for me.
But, I mean, is it an unduly loud building? Or
It's loud.
But it also has a lot to do with
It's a beautiful stadium. I mean, you know, the combine's there. We're there a lot, you know, because it's kind of right in the middle there. And so we do a lot of work there with the combine and different things that go on. And, you know, and then obviously, you know, personally with the Patriots, I've been there a few times, I think twice. And then I was once in the old RCA Dome. So, but I can tell you that it's very loud. They have great fans. Their fans are very loyal to their team, and they're very, very loud. Of course, when they're on offense, they've been trained to not be so loud. But when we're on offense, they're going to be very loud.
You've emphasized that this is the big game. How big in your mind is this game, just for you personally? Is this the biggest game of your career as a head coach?
Oh, I don't know about that. I just mean that as far as this season goes, the 2014 season, this is an important game. You know, I think all the games are very, very important, but at this time in the season where you're midway through December and it's game 14 and there's a lot on the line. There's a lot on the line. Now, you know, no matter what happens, there's still a season to play and meaningful games to play. But at the end of the day, like, it's a division game. They're a team that's been at the top of our division. You know, so it's, to me, it's an important football game.
What did you learn about the work ethic of
Well, that's a great question. You know, ever since the day that we walked in here, the guy has shown us an incredible work ethic all the way back to January, which is almost a year now, which is kind of hard to believe that I've almost been here a year. Our staff's been here a year. It goes by fast. But, you know, he's been here lifting when it wasn't even mandatory for him to be here working out. You know, so he's here. He's working very hard. Once OTA started, he did extra conditioning, extra film work to try to learn the offense. He's one of the leaders of our team, and a lot of that is because I don't think he talks a lot. I think it's more about his toughness and his work ethic, obviously how he's played in the past, how he's playing this year. So he's a very hard worker.
How much do you know about the work he's done in the community?
Yeah.
The Dwayne Brown Day a few weeks ago?
Well, I know that he's done a lot in this community, and you know, I know that means a lot to him, and I think that showed when – I know it means a lot to Houston, too. You know, I was kidding with him that, you know, I wonder if I could borrow the key to the city one time when – but it was Dwayne Brown Day last week or 2 weeks ago, and that's a huge honor for Dwayne, and I know he cares a lot about this city. He really enjoys playing here, and he, you know, the youth of the city and is really important to him. So I know that that's a big part of his contribution to the community.
Need to clarify something you said yesterday.
Uh-oh.
What is the dirty show?
Yeah. Oh, the dirty show. Let me clarify that. That means, like, these guys grind it out, you know, down and dirty. No, these guys, the look team. So really, it's the defensive scout team. The defensive scout team is the dirty show, and then the offensive scout team. I've tried to give that the nickname of the nasty offense, the nasty show. But that hasn't really caught on yet. The dirty show's been. That's who they are. And I'll tell you what, on that, Dale, not to get off on a tangent, but those guys have done a really good job this year, and I thought that they did a really good job today on both sides of the ball. You know, those guys are the guys you really don't hear about too much, and, they just do a really good job of showing up every day and giving a good look, and we name a dirty show and a nasty offense and a special team scout player of the week, you know, every week after we win a game, so that's a big –
better look to give you, of course.
That's exactly right. You know, last week I'll give you an example. Jeff Pagan – he played one of the defensive linemen on Jacksonville, and you know, our guys went out there and blocked that particular guy pretty well, you know. So, that's kind of the example. And so he got a dirty show player of the week.
So who mimicked T.Y. for you, and how'd y'all do against that guy?
I'm not talking about that, and I can't tell you how we did against that guy.
Is that something, are these names you personally have come up with?
No. The dirty show's. You know, we stole that. We've been doing that for a long. I did it at Penn State. We did it at New England, and we do it here. And Nasty O, I've kind of tried to.
Asked about DeVere, and that's where you mentioned what he's done a great job on the dirt.
He has, yeah, he has. He has done a good job on that. And this week he's done it both ways. He's had a good practice week with the offense, and he's done a good job. He's gone over there and done double duty. What's that? Tell you who. Who mimicked T.Y.? I mean, you've seen T.Y. play, so it's very difficult to mimic T.Y. But, yeah, a number of guys have done that a little bit, tried to chip in and help out with because of where he lines up. He lines up in different places, so different guys have been T.Y.
Probably you learn a good bit about a player's aptitude doing that because you're basically giving them something that they haven't studied anything, and you can't spend a lot of time on it.
That's a good point. I mean, you do learn about their instincts. I think what you learn about mostly is their drive, their competitiveness, their want to. You know, just their mental toughness that every day they show up to work and they compete. They compete. You know, there's a number of guys like that on our dirty show. You know, I can give you a bunch of examples. And when you have it, you know, the way that the dirty show primarily is made up of practice squad guys. And so, like, if you have 10 practice squad guys, the way you want your practice squad set up is that, you know, you want them to be the next man up. You know, that's not just a minor league. That's a 10-man squad that, look, hopefully can fill in if something were to happen to one of the guys on the 53. And you know, there's been examples of that this year. So we're always trying to improve that squad, and those guys are always out there trying to earn a spot. How they practice, how they work on the scout team, definitely. I mean, we go up there now, and, you know, the coaches are meeting with the players right now. They're watching the practice film, and then we, as a staff, we go up there and watch the practice film from about 4:30 to 6:30, and we watch every player and every second of practice, special teams, offense, defense, individual period, the whole thing.
Can you think of someone from maybe your time in New England through there a while that – really was impressive on scout team and worked his way up to being
a Steve Neal. Now he was a starting right guard when I got to New England, but his story is incredible. This guy's an incredible guy. He didn't even play college football. He tried out. He was on the Philadelphia practice squad, the New England practice squad. Finally, he was a defensive tackle, went back and forth between offense and defense. Finally, he's a world champion wrestler. And then finally he was elevated to the 53, and he started 10 years at right guard for New England. And when I was there, you know, he started for the 5 years I was there. I think he started 3 out of the 5 years, and then he retired. I think he has 2 or 3 Super Bowl rings. But that's a great example. But there's a number of guys that have been on practice squads that have been elevated, you know, that I know about.
You guys signed Jamal Roll off of somebody else's practice squad. When you're doing that, come from as far as what you think of the guy, because you're not watching Green Bay practice at
No, I think you're looking at, you know, especially if it's a younger player, you're looking at college tape, you're looking at preseason tape. You're putting all that into that body of work. And then myself, but primarily Rick Smith, Brian Gain, the pro personnel director, those guys, you know, they watch the tape and they convene on okay, is this guy a fit for us and would he be able to help us? That's kind of how it works.
What did you guys like coming in? I know you talked about what he's done here, but why did he seem like a guy that
– Roll?
Yeah.
I think Roll has good size. I think he's competitive. He's got good ball skills. And I felt like he could help us on special teams and be competitive on defense. So, you know, I just think that that's basically the way it's worked out. Now, you know, we have 3 weeks left here, and he needs to continue to play well. But guy really competes, got good energy, fun guy to coach, good teammate, good guy to be around. You know, we're mixing him in there. He's on some of the units, and he's had a good week. He's had a good week on special teams.